Welcome into the playground right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket. I am Josh Zinke. Matt Misler, you're on that side. What's going on? Why are you over there? Where's everybody at?
That's a good question. I think we're all trying to figure that out.
Jacob Babbitt took the week off. He has to party.
Oh.
Like it's like a monthly thing. Like I have to have a weekend off. So he has to go out and party. So he is not here. Uh-huh. Matt Leach gave me a message early this morning and said, hey.
What did he say?
He said, sorry, won't be able to make it. Second hour of the show, he gave me a prediction, though. Well, I haven't told anyone. Dr. Joe asked me, like, what's going on in the second hour? Mm-hmm. Like, you'll just have to wait and listen. Mm-hmm. Michigan sports, though, first hour. Obviously, the big sport that we have to get into. Tonio, how big of a wrestling fan are you?
Every once in a while, I'll keep up with the team.
They're 7th ranked. Last night, they beat Iowa. The 4th ranked team, 19-17 in Carver-Hawkeye Arena. It's the first time Michigan has won in Iowa City since 2005. Snapped a 9-match Hawkeye win streak in the series. Iowa's now 9-1, 4-1 in the Big Ten. Michigan 8-2, 5-1 in the Big Ten. And last year, I believe, Mike Amin was on the M Zone. And he said, next year we're going to be national champions. And I kind of looked at it like, yeah, you are. Like, I understand you have two sons on the team, a nephew as well. But no, I would not. And then when you upset Iowa, who's kind of ran the Big Ten in wrestling for some time, that's a shocker. So that happened. You can put it in there. So maybe Mike Amin. He really does know what he's talking about. He comes in here on the M Zone every once in a while, so we'll have to have him in on this week. I'll have to have Jamie, hey, did you see? Bring him in. That's usually how it goes. Like, hey, this happened. Call this person. I don't know that many people. I really don't. Matt Misler, you know John U. Bacon?
You know, the name sounds vaguely familiar.
Writes books?
Yeah.
So, have you read any of his books? Do not lie to us.
No, I have not. John, if you're listening, if you make it, if you put it like, you know, voice to, you know, book to voice or whatever, you know, audiobook, and it's you narrating it, I'd listen to it.
Tonio, how about you? How many books have you read of John Hughes?
I've read his football books.
His football books, not the Walgreens, not the latest one about Halifax. What about Saunders' book?
I've not read the Saunders book. My mom, I think, read the Halifax book, and I think she liked it.
Okay.
She's Canadian. They tend to like books about...
That's what Dr. Joe is saying. He's like, I grew up kind of there, and something happened before my time, but he's one of those history buffs who reads a few books a week, and he's on that, and he tried to get... He goes, can we maybe get this guy in next week? And if he would ask any other name that writes a book, I would not have been able to say, oh, yeah, I know that guy. He asked, can we get John U. Bacon on it? I was like, I'll work on it. Then he thinks like I'm a star because... of the one guy that used to run this Sunday show for, 11 years? Was it 11 years? And then, yes, he missed his 10th. He didn't realize it was his 10th year until the 11th year started. So then Jamie Morris ran it for 2. And then the playground for 2.
That's right.
If you're keeping track. If you're keeping track
If you're at keeping
home.
Score at home, the tally board goes 9, or 10, 2, and 2.
11.
Oh, 11 to it. Well, no, he didn't realize it was 11, he said.
Right. Well, he got through the 10th year, and then, you know, there's like you made it 10 years. He didn't realize it until it was the 11th year.
So
Michigan basketball team. You guys watch basketball at all?
Every so often.
All-Star coming up for the NBA. You going to watch that, Miz?
Nope.
What about Boogie? You upset that he's out? And they, instead of saying, hey, Andrew Drummond, you're having a good year. Why don't you join us? After his tweets, they said, Paul George, come and join us.
When you say Boogie, you're not talking about the former women's basketball star.
I'm not. Not Brzozowski. Okay. Not Boogie Brzozowski.
Okay.
DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins. You never want to see anything bad happen to a player, especially, you know, when you find out that it's a torn or ruptured Achilles. You never want to hear anything about that.
No, that hurts so bad. I mean, it never happened to me, but...
I imagine it hurts that bad.
From when... I think Rodney Pete did it in the 90s.
Oh, yeah,
They talked about it, how it like broke loose and then rolls up the back of your leg.
Something. That's not something you want to... Yeah.
Yeah, ever have happen.
Yeah.
So, Michigan basketball, they're going to host Northwestern 90s night. Miz, 90s night.
90s night? Are we going to... boy band stuff? We weren't...
Graphics, production... will be 90s themed.
Is everyone going to have frosted tips?
Maybe. I think Coach Beilein is going for that. This is the first of their two regular season meetings. I believe they're like a week apart. Yeah, from the 29th, and then they'll be playing again on the 6th. And so, yeah, twice in 7 day span. Is that good or bad? Tony, is that good to play a team? Because they're really going to know you. I mean, yes, they'll have a game in between. I believe both teams will. Yeah, Michigan has Minnesota. Is it good to play teams that close?
I don't see any particular advantage other than maybe you are more likely to kind of remember what it was like playing them the first time, as opposed to if you play them, you know, a month after when you've gone against, you know, four or five other teams in between, then maybe you sort of forget some of their tendencies and things like that. But, so I don't think it's necessarily good other than that, but it's probably not bad either. You know, you probably can maintain some of that motivation against them. So I mean, a lot of sports, they have back-to-back games where we are always playing the same team. But one of the interesting things, did you guys see, I think it was like Georgetown or some team like that last week that had a no cell phone game. It's like everyone, all the fans had to turn in their cell phones.
Well,
it was like welcome to reality kind of game. It was like a be in the moment.
It was actual reality game, and it was only, they only had people in one section of the stadium actually turn in their cell phones.
Oh, it was only one
phones.
Section, okay.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was the entire arena as well, too, but no, it was just one section that they made them turn in their cell phones, and they made them sit and, you know, watch the actual game.
Wow.
Revolutionary idea.
Oh, I know. I mean, when I was younger, there was no cell phone. I mean, even before pager. And you actually just, there's stuff going on. Just like there is. There's a halftime show. There's a little something going on the screen. They always have this. But yeah, nowadays, like you want to invite your friends over, and most of them look at their phone. Like we have a thing at when we go out to dinner with the fam. Everyone's got to put their cell phone in the middle. The first one picks it up, pays. And guess what? Every once in a while, you have to pay because it's just ringing. Or you can look at it. It's on the table. You're like, oh, Miz is trying to text me. Something's wrong at WTK. And then as long as you don't answer it, and sometimes you're like, I have to help. And then you're like, you know what? Whatever. I'm paying. But that's odd. That would be odd. I don't know if I could do that. For a full game, just put it down and not have anything around. You have to talk to people. Come on, that's not cool. But and then again, how do you? You have 10,000 people in an arena? Is that like coat check? Like, what if you're like, yeah, that's not my phone. I don't know where my phone is, but you have it. I'll call it. There's all these phones ringing. That'd be not a thing you'd want to do either. But somehow, restrict it so no one's allowed to use it.
Yeah.
Nope, didn't know about that till now. Miz, how many times has Michigan Northwestern played in basketball?
That's a good question. I have no idea. What's the answer?
170.
Wow. That's a hell of a lot more than I thought.
Actually, 169. This will be the 170th. Sorry to upset everyone.
Nice.
Michigan has won how many of those games, Miz?
I'm going to say 152.
111.
Ah.
111 and 58. Northwestern won 58. Let's see. They split the last four meetings. Two overtime games. Will there be an overtime game when Michigan takes on Northwestern coming up?
Not this Monday, no. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think – Northwestern's not that good of a basketball team this year. It was nice that they had their little Cinderella story of, you know, finally getting their first appearance into the NCAA tournament. But they're playing significantly worse than they were last year.
Yes, they are. And then that Northwestern kid, you don't have to worry about him crying.
Yeah. Oh, my God, what's happening?
Tony? Even probably surprisingly worse than this year than I expected. I mean, I thought they would be a little bit better.
Yeah, if you look at the roster and you kind of see who they have coming back as far as their bigger players, and you figure they're all going in that right direction. But obviously that's not happened. But still, we do have the last four games, two overtime games. Beilein only 12-6 against Northwestern as the U of M head coach. 12-6, that's it. Only won 66% of his games.
Huh.
Yeah, who knew? Michigan 64-20. In Ann Arbor against Northwestern. Did you know that, Miz?
No, I did not.
Well, now you do.
The more you know.
And then the last time the Wildcats won in Ann Arbor, 2010, 68-62. Did you know that, Miz?
I did not know that. You know why?
Why?
Because it's the more you know.
And more about the Wildcats. They are 13-9 overall, 4-5 in the Big Ten. They pretty much had it nearly a week off since beating Minnesota 77-69. That was last Tuesday. There are four players. McIntosh adds 13. Vic Lawsy, 12.9. And then they also have Scott Lindsay averaging 14. So not a bad team, but obviously I don't know where they're losing at as far as, is it, you know, Michigan, obviously. Are they losing at the free throw line? Is this where this is the downfall of Michigan basketball?
I would think it is. I think that's.
I mean, not downfall, but that's the negative.
That's the biggest struggle that, I mean, at least that we've seen with Xavier Simpson, you know, having in weeks past, is that he's gotten to the free throw stripe and he just can't seem to, you know, to drop them. I mean, you take a look at the Purdue game back on Thursday. You know, he had a chance to help Michigan get within a couple of points, you know, to try to get them back in the game late in the second half, and he rims out both of them. Both of his free throw shots just wouldn't drop. You know, there were a couple of layups that were missed, and that was a big thing. It's just the short range should be gimme shots that they're having a problem with, it seems like.
And do you think that I've heard this as we've progressed through the year, that near the end of the game, especially when you might have to shoot some of those, yank him off the court. Because, yes, he has done what? He's done well in assists, five assists or more in the last 7 of 8 games. Mm-hmm. But defensively, you know, you want to pull him off of that. There's talk of that. I don't think Coach Beilein is hearing any of it. And then as far as, yeah, maybe pull him out because that's the guy to foul right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the whole Hackishack thing that the Pistons and everyone in the NBA did when he was you know, with the Heat or wherever he was at. It's like, you know, hey, this guy is he can't shoot free throw for his life. Let's just go ahead and intentionally foul him, send him to the line. At best, he might hit one.
I mean, his percentage is up, but it's still lacking in the.
It's coming up in the clutch. He's having a problem.
Right, and then 90. You know, when you see 92-88, and you see they miss the four in the second half, you're like, It should be the easiest because you have no one guarding you. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes that's the toughest for people is when you're not in the flow of the game.
I felt like the Northwestern kid just going, oh, my God, what the you can't make it. Why? Right. I felt like Northwestern kid.
You were wearing a Northwestern shirt?
I had braces on, too. I don't know how it happened. It just happened. I'm like, what the hell? Oh, my God, what's happening?
I did think, though, that apart from the free throws, Xavier Simpson had a good game against Purdue. I mean, he played a big role in that game, and he got, I mean, what was he had 16 total points.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Like you say, I mean, the free throw is definitely is sort of tough to watch, but apart from that, I mean, he played 37 minutes, and I thought he did generally pretty well.
No, I think he's done well. I'm glad to see him in the lineup. Nothing against Brooks, but I thought he was that. He deserved to be in that, and I like that. You know, I've always said that every week on any show I'm on, that I like that it's not, hey, we have a starting five, and then we have two or three guys, if we need them, that can play pretty much a bunch of positions. It's like you can almost say, hey, if one of these guys gets in trouble as far as fouls or just not having a good shot, a game, then you can pull them out, and you know it's Brooks, Simpson, and you have those pairings, and I like that because that means that you can have guys on off nights and still come out on top. You just have to, you know, like a guy like Duncan Robinson. You know, he doesn't have to have a game every night, but when he does, you leave him in. If he doesn't, well, you have Livers as well. Hey, Miz, question
for
you.
What?
Hey-o, Duncan Robinson.
Yeah.
He has, 200 triples now?
Something like that. Triples for days?
Triples. Let me see where it is. Where's my stat on that? How many does he need to get to the next level? Let me see.
The level up?
Well, yeah. How many to get to the next place?
To get back into the starting role?
No. To leap ahead of.
In over. Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna say he's gonna need I'm gonna say 10.
10 more?
Yeah. I don't know.
He had 6 triples against Purdue.
Okay.
He's the 9th Wolverine to surpass 200 in his career.
Okay.
He needs 2 more to move into 7th all-time in Michigan.
Okay.
Ahead of Stu Douglas.
Hmm. Name sounds familiar.
and 10 for sixth place over Zach Novak. Do you remember all 200 that D-Rob has had?
No, I have not. I do remember the one that he had against Purdue. Yes,
Wow, the last game?
Yeah, because it was the only three-point shot he had.
All right, so we have 8 games to go in the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Miz, what's your 8-game prediction?
For the rest of the schedule for Michigan? 8 games,
yep. 4 home, 4 away.
So I kind of figured that they were going to lose the game at Purdue on Thursday. I think the rest of the way, I think they can go. I want to say they go 6-2 the rest of the way. I think I think the game at Maryland is a little bit of a trap game. They played Michigan real tight after the MSU victory that Michigan had a few weeks ago. And then, unfortunately, I think Ohio State, even though we saw the we saw them a little weak against Penn State earlier in the week on Thursday, actually, I do think that Ohio State could come into Chrysler and pull off even though they're going to be higher ranked than Michigan at the time. I think it's still going to be an upset because it's you're playing on the road. So I think 6-2.
6-2, Tonio. I think hopefully you've had time to look at the schedule. Northwestern, Minnesota, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio State, Penn State, Maryland to finish it out. What's your 8-game prediction?
I kind of want to say 6-2, but to be different, I'm going to say 5-3. I'll say
wow, going the other way.
I'll say I think they're going to beat Northwestern, Minnesota, Northwestern, and then probably I'm going to say lose to Ohio State. And then 2 other teams in there that I don't really. Maryland, I don't know. See, I like 6-2, but I don't know. I could see it going 5-3 too.
All right, I look at it as it could go 7-1. Ohio State 13th ranked, right? But it is senior day and it's a maze out. Obviously, that's going to help them. And playing in your home dome, you know what that means, especially because that's really it. Maryland is going to be a tough one. And then they'll end up, second day, March 1st, into the Big Ten tournament. So, Miz, where do you see him going into the tournament? And not the Big Ten overall. The big one. The big dance.
Where do I see him as far as seeding-wise?
As
far as how far they go?
Yes, sir.
Okay. See, you got to be specific with me.
I'm trying.
Okay.
I'm trying.
I think they could be a potential another Sweet 16 team like last year. Depending on where they get seated at bracket-wise. More likely, I'd be willing to be comfortable in saying that that they'll probably get bounced in the second round, in the round of 32.
Okay.
But I think they do have the potential to get into the Sweet 16, but I don't think they can go any further than that.
Antonio, your thoughts?
So currently, Joe Lunardi has us as an 8th seed in the South, put us against Virginia in the second round. So I think it's really kind of dependent on the seeding. But I think probably the farthest I see them going would be borderline Elite Eight if we got sort of lucky in one of the games. But I think it's probably most likely thing is probably I'm gonna say the round of 32.
All right. Yeah. See, that's the thing with an 8 seed. You're planning a 1.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a 16, tough. Right? Yeah. 16 could always beat a 1. Yeah. No, that's never happened.
You never know.
Right, right. But, more likely. And that's where even if you're a good team, you're getting bounced because of, Virginia is scary to everyone, it looks like, right now. They beat Duke yesterday.
I think that was the most points that Virginia has given up in quite a while, actually.
It is. It is. Duke. And then no Duke non-starter scored points. And, they were just shut down completely. And I'm like, wow, maybe this is a team that, usually they have these teams that are locked down on D.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of the ball is lacking. Is there any team you like, Miz, that's not maybe Big Ten you like right now you're looking at? You think this might be a team that more people need to be talking about within college basketball?
I honestly do think Virginia is that team.
You think Virginia is?
I think that even though they're number 2 in the nation, they're, besides Purdue, I believe they're the only team undefeated in their conference play as well. Because of how stacked the ACC is with Duke and North Carolina and Clemson and Notre Dame, even though Notre Dame is kind of a middle-of-the-road team, and NC State, who is also a middle-of-the-road kind of team as well. I think Virginia kind of gets overlooked a little bit. And on top of that, too, when you look at East Coast teams, the numbers keep going up, Villanova being on that list as well.
Yep.
I think Virginia's probably, like I said, even though number two in the nation, they're probably one of the more overlooked teams in the country.
All right, Tony O, you have a undiscovered team or a team that you're really watching or you're really looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Virginia's undiscovered. They're number one.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm not
saying they're undiscovered. Yeah, I just think that they're kind of underrated. Not a lot of people are talking about them.
Yeah.
Because they play defense.
I don't know about undiscovered. I mean, I'm not really – I don't know.
Can I give you mine? Because
sure,
obviously I asked the question because it's Auburn.
Yeah.
What are they, 19-2?
The Auburn Bruce Pearls.
Yep, 19-2, 7-1, the SEC. Obviously, they have a bunch of guys scoring in double digits. It's Bruce. Yeah, that's the problem. They already have two guys missing from the team. It's Bruce. They're being investigated.
Bruce.
But obviously, that's that team right now ranked, 19th. But only two losses. I think everyone's been waiting for them to keep losing, lose a game or two. And yesterday, even though he punched his own player in the face yesterday, they kept rolling along and still won that game.
Yeah.
Well, don't sneak up on him. You won't have that happen.
True. Tony O, you find a team you want to talk about?
I mean, not really. I looked at Auburn because I saw their record and I saw ranked only 19. You'd think that they'd be higher.
Yeah.
The one thing that's hurting them is just like they haven't really played any good teams. I mean, they played Arkansas and Tennessee. I think are the only ranked teams that they've played. But so like record wise, I think you're spot on. Like they should be ranked higher. But at the same time, they've lost to Alabama and Temple.
Yeah, and then that's who they beat yesterday, right? It was Bama with
Alabama beat Oklahoma.
Boom. Yep. Sorry. Get all those, those teams are playing yesterday. A lot of good games.
SEC Big 12 Challenge in the middle. Do you like that in the middle of like conference play?
Yeah, cuz it takes it off and usually they'll try to put it. I like when they do what is the one
like
week,
the bracket buster challenge.
Yeah,
stuff.
When they just put two teams together and you're like, "Wait a minute." Sometimes they're horrible games because a team that they thought was going to do like A&M, they're ranked. And then when it gets around to it, they're like, wait, we're putting you against. All right, this didn't work out the way it is. But, yeah, no, I don't mind that middle of the season because obviously it breaks up, the usual. And you get to play someone that you probably doesn't know you as well as those teams in your conference do.
True.
Tony, what do you think about having something like that in the middle of your actual conference season?
As a fan, I like it because, conference play can kind of get boring after a while. Once you start to see Northwestern two times in a row, Minnesota two times, it's like kind of would like to see some other more interesting games. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, especially like Northwestern, we're going to see that one. And we're like, all right, didn't I already watch this game? And they're just wearing different jerseys. But hopefully Michigan come out on top, both of those. Minnesota in between to go all the way to, 7-1 is my prediction on that.
Boom.
All right.
Who do you think they lose to then? Out of curiosity.
Maryland at the end.
Okay.
Undefeated till Maryland. That's what I have it.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think Northwestern won't have any trouble, even though I think they'll be better the second time around. Northwestern will. Minnesota is one of those up and down teams, but I don't feel like it's their year this year. I mean, they're making everyone thirsty, but it's obviously not coming through. And then Maryland, for some reason, I think. Senior day against Ohio State, that's a big help for Michigan. Even though, obviously, the students are nowhere close. They're close. Not as close as they should be.
Should be right on top of them?
Yeah, definitely.
But the player on their back.
When I was watching, I think it was the Alabama game, I liked that the way they had. I mean, obviously, it's just shot from the other side. But they had the fans right there. I mean, yes, you always have that one row of seating that's really close. But I almost felt like the view was different by having the benches, on one side. And then, yes, it was just that view, but they were right there. They were on top. I mean, and guys, it's not like where in Camden where, you're trying to inbound a ball and you got 40 people right behind you yelling stuff at you.
Mm-hmm.
But still, Michigan needs to do that, right? Am I right about this, Tonio?
I think you're right.
Tonio's been at school there. He's been a part of this.
I agree completely, but at this point, I think we're never going to see that ever happen.
You know the Ward Manual?
I don't think it will ever happen. First, I mean, for one thing, they just spent so much money renovating it that I think they're unlikely to you know,
take away to that try money
to
that
to
they
try
need
to go and get more money to fix it.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like how they did the Children of the Yost as far as the student section at Yost. You know, like they kind of they're not on the glass anymore. But I mean, it seems like they're a little bit closer now, but they're not as close as, like I said, as they were, you know, before.
Right. And but the one thing that does probably make up for that is that like all the metal, like all the benches and all of the stands are metal now, which is makes it a lot more,
yeah,
you know, just ambient noise all the time.
Oh yeah, yes. One of those days, I think they get it rocking enough. Maybe we can shatter one of those windows. I'm sure it's not. Well, let's just say, let's try for it.
They've got those, they had to put those fabric noise absorbers up at the top.
Yeah, because it was just too annoying.
Metal.
Or,
yeah.
But all right.
I mean, if a dad from a Pee-wee team could just do it by just smacking the glass, I'm pretty sure a rowdy college kid can do it too.
Very true. All right, well, let's take our first break. A lot more on the playground. Remember, it's two episodes in 2 hours, but really it's one show all put together hosted by me. I am Tony O. All right, when we come back, more on the playground.